Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to History Dreams, a podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. I'm Tim. The title of our podcast today is The Curious Case of the Edgerton Murders. It's got some mysterious murders, Brandy. What do you think about that?
I'm excited to see what they are.
Me too. You might have known what they were if you had read the script.
Yeah, if you would take a little bit of time to prepare yourself.
Easy there, big man who didn't have his script. I like the element of surprise.
I read the script.
Good point.
I like the element of surprise.
So you can give us a synopsis of it right now.
Yeah, he can. A bad person kills an innocent person, a number of innocent people, Timmy.
And I see.
A bad person gets an idea, gets a weapon, and mayhem ensues, Timmy.
The insight is staggering.
Yeah, so he didn't read it.
No.
But it is a fascinating tale, Brandy. And we're going to as you know, because I know you read it, and we're going to discuss that. Okay. But before we do, I'd like to remind everyone that we sometimes use inappropriate language, foul language.
Well, it's appropriate for the situation, Timmy.
Well, perhaps, but not
all. It's not our everyday language.
Right, because sometimes these sons of bitches, Timmy,
you can't be
a Christian talking about these motherfuckers, Timmy.
Some people are offended by the language that we use.
Well, Brandy. Those people should go fuck themselves, Timmy.
if they're offended by that.
But you know what they're not offended by, Timmy?
What?
If you don't cuss, but you just talk about the mayhem and stuff that happens to the people, the horrible things. They're not offended by somebody getting an arm lopped off and leg lopped off and foot lopped off and buried in a shallow grave and thrown off a bridge, and none of that offends them, Timmy.
Mm-hmm. You know, some people are offended by language, and if you are, we ask that you check out one of the other wonderful true crime podcasts out there, of which there are many, Colonel.
There are a number, Timmy. We have our friends Nina and Ben are both doing long forms now, Timmy.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
Yes.
Don't
Talk to Strangers from Nina, as well as there is
Mine's Murder Madness. Town by Tim.
Yeah, by Ben.
By Ben, I'm sorry.
Yes. There's a lot of good podcasts out there. Minds of Madness, another good podcast. Brandy's been listening to a lot of different podcasts lately.
She's a podcast junkie now. Yeah, she goes.
It's so ridiculous, the rabbit hole I've fallen down.
See? And we're all part of that.
But you are a part of that. But let me tell you something. I sigh a lot. There's a lot of sighing on my end to you all
on this podcast.
On this particular on our podcast, I sigh.
I haven't noticed that. Have you, Colonel?
No, I have not noticed that. You've always seemed cheerful and chipper when you're talking to us.
And on the edge of her seat whenever
right.
you're
yeah,
talking.
Just excited. Yeah.
I sigh quite a bit.
She seems excited to be in the same room with us.
Yes, she does. In the same virtual room, though.
Right, right.
Okay, so let me introduce our panel. I am joined, as always, by the very lovely and talented the podcast junkie, a lady who's known throughout the land as Brandy the Benevolent, Queen Brandy the First. How are you today, Brandy?
You know what, Timmy? I'm all right. I'm all right. I made an announcement on the page that I'm completely ridiculous, and I recognize that. But my day was completely made yesterday when I went to Walmart and found my pins that I can't find anywhere. And I got so excited.
What kind of pins?
They are, let's see, they are Pentek pins.
Like you write with?
Like I write with. And I like, I write a lot. I sign my name a lot, you know, autographs and, you know, work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And these pins don't hurt my hands. And
bad checks.
And I can't, you know, find them anywhere. And frickin' Walmart had them. So now I'm pumped and excited that I've had my pins. Yeah,
that's what I like about you, Brandy.
Continue to steal.
That's what I like about you. You're pleased with life simples.
You're simple a simple things. Woman, Devil. You're a simple woman. I've said
that's
that a
what I can't
of times.
Get people. Yeah. Well, no, not. See, I think, but you meant it differently.
Hey, here's a thought, though, and I'm just
this is still Brandy time.
Yeah, I know where I'm at, and I'm going to try to help Brandy. It's what? The Pentek gel rollers, right, Devil?
No, it is not. I don't like gel pens.
Oh, you
they're
don't
pens? No, they're ink pens. They're Pentel, and they're RSVP. They're ballpoint pens.
Yeah.
They're not.
Yeah, I know exactly what. They're right here on Amazon for. $10 a box of 12, Devil.
Right, but I found them at Walmart, and I got five.
All you got to do is get on your computer.
I was on a quest. I don't want to wait.
Is it me, Colonel, or do you hear our audience snoring at this point?
I do. We just
you know what? You know what? It makes me happy. You asked about my day. It's hard to tell how this day's going because it's early, but yesterday was great.
Brandy, are you ready for the holidays? You're ready for Thanksgiving?
You know
she's not. She's the most ungrateful person you ever met, Timmy. How's she going to be thankful for something?
We're having.
You should be unthanksgiving for you.
We're having Thanksgiving at my mom and dad's, and I don't get to eat any of it, but I'm very excited to spend time with my family.
Why don't you get to eat?
Oh, because I've got that surgery coming up, and I have to, like, put 2 weeks on some kind of crazy, like, coffee and cigarette diet and for, like, 2 weeks. But
I'm sure they're not recommending a coffee and cigarette diet.
Well, probably not. But, you know, I'm not allowed to really eat anything, so I have these nasty protein shakes that I can drink, or I can have Greek yogurt, which is fine. But, you know, my source of anything.
Are there a lot of calories in Percocet?
There are not. So I'm okay.
You're okay. Well, we'll learn more about your surgery as it comes around.
There's no reason. It's not that exciting.
You've been having a lot of surgeries here lately, Devil.
Mm-hmm.
And it just makes me wonder if you're not living clean, Devil.
You know, I've had more surgeries since I've turned 40 than I ever have had in my whole life. No, it's not a matter of living clean. It's a matter of being old enough to figure out, hey, not everybody has heartburn that where they throw up in the middle of the night. That's a thing that could be fixed. So let's do it.
Right. But if you introduced a little more righteousness and got rid of a little of the sin, Devil, that's what I'm talking about.
You know, cut back on the vodka.
Vodka, cigarettes.
Look,
breakfast. Yeah.
My little sin is sitting here playing Grand Theft Auto. So,
I almost went out and bought an Xbox just for GTA. I miss that game so much. Can I come over Thanksgiving and play with Noah?
Sure, he'd love it.
I would too. We would also like to introduce a man that is known throughout the land as, I know that's Brandy, it's known throughout the land. The Colonel is known as an oasis, Brandy, in the desert of despair. He is considered the most dangerous man in podcasting today, a man who is considered the moral compass of this podcast, the very honorable, the Colonel, Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard, Hawk Waters III, affectionately known, Brandy, as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I'm not good, Timmy.
He's not good, Brandy.
Look at that. Shocking. Shocking.
Well, you know, to me, as I wander into my, I've done many great things in my life, and I was hoping, really,
he hasn't, Randy.
Yeah.
No, he's done one great thing.
If you look on Wikipedia, to me, I got my own page there, and if you look at
my dream, I just thought I was done. Okay, you thought you were done.
Much like Michael Corleone in The Godfather Part 3, Timmy.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
every time I get out, they pull me back in, Timmy.
So what are you saying, Colonel, that your people are calling you to service?
It appears that I'm going to have to run for the Prime Minister of England, Timmy.
Well, they have been having a lot of resignations over there, Brandy. You got to admit that.
Let them, you know what? If I was Prime Minister, let them fucking resign. Do you know how bad I would strip their offices for parts? I would have new staplers. I would have so much shit. I'd have 8 printers. I'd be so excited. Let them quit.
You'd be happy, but your government will be all fro. It'd be as frozen up as somebody, is the people that do it outside the bowels.
Yeah. I'd be efficient because I'd have all the stuff.
So if you were Theresa May, you would just say resign and I get the good stuff.
And I'm going to get your good red swing line.
The colonel. So what you're saying, Colonel, you're thinking about running for parliament?
Snap election, Timmy.
Well, yeah, they do have snap elections where, you know, our elections have a timetable like every 4 years or every 2 years. But in the parliamentary system, they can call for elections, the prime minister. And you're saying you would call for a snap election.
I would call for a snap election right now, Timmy.
I'm calling
for a snap election right now.
You would call for like three times a week.
I'm demanding the snap election right now, Timmy.
I feel like you have to live over there in order to do that. I don't know.
That's what I thought.
Is that a problem, Colonel? Is that a hurdle?
I will relocate much like, you know, we have people in this country run for Senate in a state they never lived in. They had a P.O. box there for 2 weeks and then they run for Senate. So I'm going to be prime minister because I got friends in England and my friends in England are saying, Colonel, look, we need your help.
Will we call friends?
So they're calling you to duty. You think that you could get elected even though you've never been there?
Sure.
I think that's a problem. I think his trip to Canada has barred him from all international travel.
Somebody's going to have to explain Brexit to me, Timmy.
I wouldn't worry about that until you get elected. Then someone will explain it to you. You can bring up the wiki page on it and maybe catch up.
Yeah.
You're announcing that you are a candidate for Parliament in the UK.
Not just Parliament.
Snap election, Timmy.
Snap election. He's calling it snap election, Brandy.
You know, good luck.
He can call that. You're allowed to call snap elections. So,
yes. And apparently they're going to call one.
Say it.
And then I will be Sir Charles.
Oh, you want to be knighted as well?
Well, yeah, if I go over and save the country. England's a mess right now, Timmy. Mm-hmm. They're not United States kind of mess, but, by England standards, they're a mess.
You know, if we just
will you make Brandy the manager of Stonehenge?
You know what? Just to get her cast off, I may do that, Timmy.
I don't think she can manage Stonehenge. I really doubt her ability.
She can't. She could to manage a lot to me,
you know, big stones.
Look, here's the thing.
I think she can manage it. I don't think Brandy could break the morale of Stonehenge, Timmy.
Now, Brandy, what's your thoughts on that? How do you respond?
Well, first of all, I've got enough dirt on Charles that I would go bigger than Stonehenge. I would want a very high position.
But you've often said you want to be the manager of Stonehenge. I don't know what
it was the job posting.
I know, but I don't know what makes you think you have the ability to manage Stonehenge. Have you managed rocks before?
Yes. Have you seen my staff?
I'm going to put Brandy in charge at Eiffel Tower, Timmy.
Look, that's a different country, Colonel.
Yeah.
That's France.
There you go.
Timmy. For now. That's been England's problem. They haven't been thinking big, Timmy.
I see. You want to expand the empire.
Well, how hard is it? I mean, you take over France, all you got to send is 2 troops over there.
What?
They're like, we surrender.
to manage Stonehenge, all you got to know how to do is mow the grass. I can do that.
You might, yeah, but you hit one of them and they start falling over. I get this picture in my mind of you standing there like, you know, with shrugging your shoulders with the, all the rocks all, you know, falling and in disarray.
Everybody knows that you take the weed whacker around the actual stones. Duh. Second of all, maybe it's time for a new configuration. Did you ever think about that? Maybe we would get more people there if we mixed it up a little bit. Did you ever think about that, Timmy?
That is why you're not going to be a manager of Stonehenge. That's the exact reason
I should be the manager of Stonehenge.
Yeah, I think you want to upgrade Stonehenge, Devil.
Yeah, I think Stonehenge is fine the way it is. Just don't knock it over. That would be your one job.
I want knocking them over. I want to be named a dame, and
you just can't be named a dame. You have to earn it.
You gotta be a dame.
Really? Yeah. Like he's earned the title Colonel or Sir? I feel like as long as we're playing this game, I should be named a dame, and you know.
So you want that in your title now, dame? You can't be a queen and a dame. A queen is higher than a dame.
Well, you got to start somewhere. And
I would like to be a baron.
I know, because you want
to wear an accent. I believe I would make you a duke, Timmy.
A duke? But I'd like to be a baron.
Or a count, maybe.
A count would be cool.
A count to me, Timmy.
Count would be cool, Brandy.
A count is a ladies man, Timmy, generally.
Then you do have to wear an ascot.
Yeah, well, and can you wear an ascot and a cape? Because I want to.
You can. You can. Of course it's got a little weird to me, but you can do it.
And a monocle.
Well, you know what? Because you're a count, you can do whatever the hell you want.
You need a scarf, Timmy.
Yeah,
Can we talk about the Edrington murders?
We can. Thank you for always keeping us on track, Brandy.
Yeah, thank you for staying so professional, though.
Yes, that's why you would make an excellent Stonehenge manager.
Duh.
I would put it on Easter Island. You know what I would do? I would cut off all internet access and cell phone access and just say, there you go, manage it. She's like the virus that we isolated, Timmy.
No, Timmy's new title would be Count Dream Killer. That's what Timmy's title is.
I don't know why you say that for.
You're a dream killer.
I just like the Stonehenge. I would hate to see anything happen to Stonehenge under your watch.
Whatever.
All right, let's talk about the Edrington murders.
You know, this is to me.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna have to clean up your life a little bit too.
What do you mean?
Well,
my life is very.
You're gonna be under media scrutiny, and you can't be juggling those four or five women at a time.
I don't know what you're talking about.
We know you're a ladies' man, especially if you get the ascot. It's gonna get even worse. And then you add the monocle in there. You're going to have to get a cane to just beat them off, Timmy. Get beat out, beat back the women.
Brandy, have you ever had relations with a man that wore a monocle?
I've never slept with Mr. Peanut. No, I have not.
All right.
You haven't lived.
Yep.
Well, since both of you have, that's special.
Let's talk about the Edrington murders. Pipe Hayes Park, Brandy.
Uh-huh.
Is an area in Edrington, which is a suburb of Birmingham, England. Ever been to Birmingham, England there, Colonel?
I've been there. I'm about to be there. Snap election, Timmy.
you're going to call snap elections like every 10 minutes, I can tell.
So they give me one, Timmy. I'm gonna proclaim. I've been yelling out here at the house, just out the door, and I live on the west side of Cincinnati, so that. They don't really have a clue
what you're talking about.
Yeah, but it's not unusual for people to yell random things, you know, because I yell, snap election, get off my yard, you little bastard.
So you're calling for a snap election so you can be elected to Parliament.
Timmy, yesterday I had the story of America encapsulated in 10 minutes.
What happened?
Played out in front of my house, Timmy. Now, we had that bad ice storm, and all the branches fell off the tree, and some landed on the car here. Mm-hmm. And I had this person who was very entrepreneurial and was walking okay. around with a chainsaw to cut up everybody's branches and put them by the curb so the city could pick them up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these are big branches, Timmy.
Right. Yeah, I saw the photos. It was
And you're old. You shouldn't be out there doing those things.
Yeah.
Well, this man was older than me.
I doubt it.
This man was older than me.
But he was probably in better shape.
No, he was not, Timmy. He was not. That's mm-hmm. the scary thing. So he knocks on my door, mm-hmm. and I won't. He appears that he probably didn't have regular work, Timmy. Okay. And,
but he's a ne'er-do-well, you're saying.
A ne'er-do-well, yes.
But he had a chainsaw.
But he had a chainsaw somehow. I don't know how that worked. And he said, I will cut up all those branches in your yard and stack them in the street, stack them on your curb for $10.
That's a good
$10.
Deal.
Now, this man a good deal.
Had been walking up to everybody's house
mm-hmm.
and cutting up their branches for $10. And I just thought, you know, that's, I admire his spirit.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know where he got the chainsaw. And then as I was watching him, I thought, I'm not sure that this guy really knows how to operate a chainsaw. But I did not really care because my branches were getting moved.
Right.
For $10. I mean,
for $10.
Shit.
When he came up to my house, Timmy, to gather his $10 for cutting up said branches, it was apparent that he had had a minor slip with the chainsaw, Timmy, and then it hit him on the ankle, and he was bleeding profusely from said ankle.
Did you give him a Band-Aid?
We gave him better than that. We gave him an ace bandage and some gauze and told him, get your ass to the hospital. And he said, he's got a few more yards. And I thought, That is our country, Timmy. We have an entrepreneurial spirit. We just don't seem to have the technical skill to pull it off, Timmy.
So did this guy bleed out on your lawn?
He didn't. I told him, go up to the next yard. If you're going to die, you're a private contractor. I assume no responsibility. I said, sir, if I pay you now I am a customer, and I am involved in this transaction where you have damn near lopped off a foot. So I'm sorry, I cannot pay you.
Oh, shit's right.
Yeah, you just wait for him to die. Or, after he dies, you could go get your $10 back.
That's what I told
and
Rudy.
And the chainsaw.
And everybody else's $10 and paid him $10.
Yes. And the chainsaw.
And the chainsaw. I followed him around for about four
blocks. It makes you wonder what he does with the chainsaw when there's no
exactly
trees, branches to cut.
Maybe he's a tree guy.
Or a serial killer.
This was a serious cut on his leg. I was a little concerned. First of all, I was a little concerned. I was like, sir, could you step into the grass there because you're bleeding on the concrete of the porch? We can take care of this over at an appropriate place, but please do not bleed on my porch.
Oh, I don't
I do not lack compassion for the man, but if you're going to bleed, I can't stop that, but you don't have to bleed on my porch where I have to clean it up.
Why didn't you stitch it up for
him? He's got a point, Brandy.
Why didn't you stitch it up for him?
I put some super glue on it and put an ace bandage on it.
Now, that'd get him at least to the next, to your neighbor's house.
To my neighbor's house. I told him, keep pressure on it. And then I thought, you know what? I have an ace bandage. And I probably put it on there so tight that he's gangrenous today.
Gangrenous.
But that's not really... You know, I solved the immediate problem.
You did, Colonel. You're a good man.
Speaking of solving immediate problems,
should we get on with the story?
Snap election, Timmy.
All right. So this is a little Pipe Heist Park is a little place, suburb of Birmingham, England, right?
Yes.
Edrington has a population of 23,000, Brandy. 23,000 people live there. So it's small.
Right.
The area was the site of two very similar. This is eerie, Brandy. You're involved in all this Satan worship and paranormal stuff, so you might like this story. The area was the site of two very similar murders of young women, 157 years apart to the day, Brandy. What do you think about that?
You think they could have been connected to me?
Well, you tell me. I'm going to give you the details. In 1817 and again in 1975, two young women were brutally murdered in the area of Pike Hayes Park. And by the way, Leanne tells me that people in Birmingham in England talk funny. We even got it, Colonel.
They talk what?
Leanne says they talk funny.
Leanne's got a lot of gall saying anybody talks funny, Timmy.
Hey, and you know what? And I've watched Peaky Blinders. They don't talk funny.
You don't think they talk funny?
No.
All right.
Oh, no, I think they talk funny, but I think that Leanne talks funny.
I see.
Everybody really outside, well,
Cincinnati
talks funny.
Well, except Ben. Ben, of course. He speaks proper English.
Ben has perfect diction, Timmy.
Oh, yes.
God.
Like myself.
Much like you, Timmy. The lovely man. Now, don't insult him.
But I think she's insulting you.
When we have a snap election, Timmy.
Snap election.
I shall make Ben a knight.
Oh, you're going to knight him.
I see.
But not you, Tim.
I don't know what kind of
award I could give Roseanne.
She'd be a lady.
She'd be a dame.
Yeah, see, it'd be too hard for Roseanne to be a lady all the time, Timmy.
She'd be a dame.
A dame. Okay, I'll make her a dame.
All right. So the facts around these two murders are very uncanny. Some very uncanny coincidence, Brandy.
All righty.
On May 27, 1817, the body of a murder victim by a 20-year-old woman named Mary Ashford was found in a flooded sand pit in Edgerton. And again, this is just, you know, outside of Birmingham, right?
All right.
Exactly 157 years to the day.
So May 27th.
Yeah, 1975. To the very hour, Brandy.
Oh, geez.
The Ashford murdered. History repeated itself in a most brutal and chilling way, Brandy, when 20-year-old Barbara Forrest was strangled and left in the long grass near the children's home in Edgerton, where she was employed as a nurse. Your thoughts on that, Brandy?
Sad.
It is. This may seem nothing more than a coincidence, but intriguing similarities and parallels between the two murders came to light when the police were investigating the Barbara Forrest murder. And as a police archivist officer, I didn't know they had police archivists, but I guess they do.
They do.
Read through the Ashford murder of 1817, he shook his head in disbelief, Brandy. Have you ever shook your head, Brandy, in disbelief?
I have shook my head in disbelief at least six times since we started this podcast.
Now, see, Timmy, you know that I have a background in criminology, Timmy.
Yes, and this is a classic case. A background in criminology.
Well, Brandy, he's been very active with law enforcement. Go ahead, Colonel.
They've been active with him. This is a classic case of a copycat killer, Timmy.
I see. Well, let's find out with more. Well,
I don't think it's the same person. Way to go, Clouseau.
157 years later.
Copycat killers are not the same person. By definition, they're a different person.
Way to piece that together.
Yeah.
Well, you're on a roll, Colonel. This might be a good time to call for a snap election.
Snap election, Timmy.
Friggin' Mr. Bean. It's a copycat. You fucking pig.
So, Brandy, they have a holiday in England. It's called Whit Monday. It's a bank holiday. You know how we have holidays to, you know, like Veterans Day and, you know, Memorial Day, all these days that we have to set aside to honor our past. Well, they have bank holidays where they just make shit up. They just want an extra day off. And that is Whit Monday was one of those.
We need that.
It was a bank holiday until 1967. They stopped it. But on Whit Monday in 1817, both days, Whit Monday fell on November 26th, both in – it fell on a Monday, of course, because it's Whit Monday. But it fell on both on May 26th, both in 1817 and in 1975. So that's odd.
That is odd. So that's
goddamn fascinating.
But wait a minute. Here's the question. Wait a minute.
Snap election.
Wait a minute. How would you know if they stopped Whit Monday in 1967? How would you know that it's Whit Monday in 1975?
Well, in the UK, they stopped it, but I guess some of the other countries still celebrate it in Europe. So, but you know, these bank holidays, they're just bullshit. That's just so they can stay home.
They're just reasons for people to get off. Yeah.
Off work.
We need that.
You know, we work so hard. That's why we have such a great economy, because all of us, like us, we work so hard. And while they're taking off Whit Monday, Colonel, your thoughts on that?
Snap election, Jimmy. Snap election. Put the shirt on. I'm going to fix that country, Timmy. You know who? People are going to think I'm the second coming of Winston Churchill, Timmy.
You can't even control your own house.
I'm here to bring that empire to greatness. The first thing we're going to do is take over India again, Timmy. Colonize India.
You're going back and make it a great empire again. I see.
Oh, okay.
First of all, this fucker can't control the tiny office that he has at work.
He's been compared to Winston Churchill, Brandy. You have to admit that.
No, he hasn't. I admit nothing. He's never been compared to Winston Churchill. Ever. Ever. Closest he's ever come, went to Churchill Downs once.
He will fight on the beaches, Brandy.
I will. All I have to offer the people of England, Timmy, is my blood, toil, sweat, and tears. So
he's offering them his toil, Brandy.
Mm-hmm. Nobody wants that.
Nobody wants his toil.
Keep that toil put away. Nobody wants that.
Okay, so Mary Ashford. Yeah, like Mary Ashford, Barbara Forrest had been raped before being murdered, and both victims were within 300 yards of one another. So that's pretty weird. They're pretty close. They both, and get this, Brandy, they both share the same birth date.
Mm-hmm.
They both were 20 years old at the time of their murders. But, Brandy, the coincidences don't stop there.
What? The what?
The coincidences don't stop there. That means when something happens.
No, I know.
Explain what coincidence is to her, Colonel.
A coincidence, Devil, is when an event occurs that has strange things surrounding it.
Connections
to other events.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, in this case, both girls had visited their best friend on the evening of Whit Monday to change into a new dress for a local dance party.
So they went there on Sunday.
Yeah. No, not Whit Monday. Not Whit Eve. Whit Monday. The coincidence don't stop there. Both girls had visited their best friend on the evening of Whit Monday to change into a new dress to attend a local dance party.
Okay.
Have you ever attended a dance party, Brandy?
I have. So there you go.
Have you?
What kind of dancing do you do? Sober. You do the Watusi. Have you ever done the Watusi?
I don't think so.
What kind of dances do you do?
I don't know.
Brandy used to go to those dances, Timmy, where you get your hair all poofy.
Yeah, it's not pole. We don't count pole dancing.
Oh,
yeah. And take dollars from strangers as you was listening to some Salt and Pepper song.
Salt and Pepper.
Push it good. Push it real good.
No, we don't push anything.
You know when things will be pushed good, Timmy.
And Colonel.
When there's a snap election, Timmy.
Oh, he's calling for a snap election, Brandy.
So these poor girls go to a dance.
Yeah, and they get raped, they get murdered.
Yeah.
And each of the suspects who were arrested, each had the same last name of Thornton.
Cool. That's
interesting. And in both instances, Mr. Thornton was charged with the murder, but then later acquitted, Brandy.
Well,
doesn't it seem odd?
So bad.
Were they related to me?
The Thorntons?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I don't think they were
related.
But let's take a closer look at the uncanny coincidences, Brandy. At 6:30 on May 27, 1817, a laborer on his way to work in Edgington came upon a heap of blood-stained clothes belonging to a woman, Brandy, near what was called Penn's Mill. He informed the police, and during the search of the area around the suspicious find, they saw two tracks of footprints made by a man and a woman, which led to a flooded sand pit, Brandy. Your thoughts on that?
That's a good way to throw the hounds off, Timmy.
I try and stay away from flooded sand pits.
The police had two sets of footprints, and they saw that they ended at the edge of the water around the pit. The pit was searched, and the corpse of a well-known, well-loved local girl named Mary Ashford was recovered. So this is 1817, Brandy. Her arms were heavily bruised, and her clothing was bloodstained. Police made inquiries with the locals and soon established that Miss Ashford's last moment, she soon established her last movements on the previous day. On Whit Monday, May 26, 1817, Mary had traveled to Edgington from Edgington to Birmingham to sell dairy products at the local market. Your thoughts on that, Brandy?
She's going to sell cheese, whatever.
You know what I'm hearing, and I know you're anti-cheese, Timmy.
You know I am a part of the anti-cheese coalition.
What do we have? We have bruised arms, Timmy. Those are classic defensive wounds.
Yeah, he's got a point, Brandy.
Yeah. Now, you know I'm a criminologist, Timmy.
I knew that.
As well as future Prime Minister of England when they have the snap election.
Mary, we're going to get complaints about this episode. Mary then made arrangements to visit a friend's house where she could change into a new dress, Brandy. Okay. Her friend's name was Hannah Cox. C-O-X.
Stop it.
Hannah Cox. Now, that just seems cruel by the parents.
Well, that's her last name. Hannah Cox, Brandy. She would go to her and her friend would go to Whittonside dance, this dance at this Tyburn House Inn that evening. So they had plans, Brandy, to go to the dance. Mary goes to Hannah after selling her cheese. She goes to Hannah Cox's house to put on her new dress. Mary had arrived at her friend's house at 6 in the evening. She changed into her new dress and then went to the dance with Hannah. And the two girls seemed to have enjoyed themselves, Brandy. They had no shortage of male admirers, much like yourself, Brandy. Although throughout the majority of the evening.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mary, throughout the majority of the evening, Mary had been in the company of a young bricklayer, Brandy, named Abraham Thornton. While her friend Hannah Cox, she was dancing with a boy named Benjamin Carter, who is not important at all to the story, but somehow we name him anyway.
Snap election.
Have you ever went out with anyone by the name of Cox, Brandy?
No. I have not.
She's had her share.
Okay. Let's let's don't hurt her reputation, girl.
Yeah, let's not besmirch me.
How could I besmirch her reputation any more than she has already besmirched her
reputation? Well, you said she's went out with a lot of cocks.
No, she just had her fair share.
Of cocks?
Of gentlemen greeters, Timmy.
I see. Well, she does have a lot of admirers, and she does have a lot of suitors. I'm sure she had a lot of suitors before she was married.
And when she was young.
Yeah, which is, now she's married and old.
This happened.
She's old and married at this point.
Yes.
Brandy, you probably wonder what time the dance ended.
Well, right.
The dance ended around midnight. And the foursome, that would be Mary and the young bricklayer Abraham. Named Abraham Thornton.
Right.
Her Benjamin Carter.
And Hannah.
And Hannah Cox.
We got it.
At the dance ended around midnight. The four of them headed to their respective homes as far as a place known as, I don't know what this means. They ended up in a place called the old Cuckoo, Brandy. Cuckoo.
I think they did an episode of Scooby-Doo there.
Yeah, they may have. It's just a short distance of from the Edgington. And Hannah Benjamin and Hannah Cox then separated from Mary and Abraham, and they went in a different direction. So they walk it together for a while, and then Benjamin and Hannah Cox go on. They separate, and Mary and Abraham would last seen together. Okay.
I'm on Wikipedia, Timmy.
Yes,
and it appears that this Brexit is not even a person.
What did you think it was? You thought it was a human?
I thought it was a person.
I thought Brexit was they were voting for or against Brexit.
I see.
You said that.
Yeah. Who's Brexit? I kept thinking.
What is your position on Brexit, or do you have one yet?
I'm formating a position on Brexit that would be in the best interest of my homeland.
I see.
The great empire of Britain.
I see.
Your homeland.
I think I'll fit right in over there, Jimmy.
It sounds like you're calling.
A wee bit of a Cockney accent, you know that.
He does have a Cockney accent, Brandy.
He does sound like his mouth is full of.
Right, and like a Liverpool.
I wonder if Hannah Cox had a Cockney accent.
She had a Cockney accent, Timmy. Cockney.
Now,
the whole family spoke the same way. It was a colloquialism.
I see. You don't... Let's hear. Can you share with us your Cockney accent, Colonel?
I'm going to save that for my first speech right after we call for the snap election, Timmy.
Okay. Later on that evening, Brandy, around 3:30 a.m. So hell, they were out all night. That's
partying like rock stars.
Nothing good happens at 3:30 a.m.
Nothing open at 3:30 but legs and White Castle.
Exactly. Mary, at 3:30 a.m., Mary was seen walking toward the home of Hannah Cox. So she was. They saw her walking to her Hannah Cox's house. A witness mentioned the mother's house. I'm sorry. Well, I guess it's Hannah's house too. Well, we don't know. Home of Hannah Cox's mother. Okay. A witness mentioned that the girl was walking very slowly and alone. Brandy.
Yeah, she's probably drunk.
At the house of Hannah's mother, Mary took off her new dress and changed into her working clothes. What do you think about that, Colonel?
Well, she became a working girl, Timmy. She was back to selling cheese. Yeah. Hey, somebody got, time to make the cheese. 3:30 in the morning, time to make the cheese.
I'm not a fan of cheese, Colonel. As you know, I am a part of the anti-cheese coalition. ACC,
now, is it the white cheese or the yellow cheese?
I'm just a member. You get into, though, you get in. There's some people, some of them are just, you got those anti-provolone people. They're just,
they're rabid, Timmy.
I know. I'm just a
Parmesan
member.
Parmesan people are crazy.
Yeah, that's just, they're just ridiculous. I think I'm more of a rational I'm anti-cheese, but I'm rational. I know we live in the real world, and there's provolone, and I think we can get along You know, we can get along with people who like provolone, but you know, the anti-provolone people.
We should crush and destroy provolone, because what does provolone have to offer that mozzarella doesn't, Timmy?
Well, that's a good question, Brandy.
I don't know.
Have the snap election, Timmy, and I'm in charge of the great empire of Britain, I shall ban provolone.
Well, you get those provolone people riled up, and you have trouble.
I don't even think they eat much cheese in Britain, Timmy. They eat a lot of fish, a lot of chips.
They eat potatoes and things.
Yeah. Porridge. Mm. They eat some funny. That's the cuisine in Great Britain is not it. But I am going to raise the bar over there when they have the snap election, Timmy.
I see.
We are going to become the new Paris.
No. I see, Colonel. So anyway, witness saw her walking very slowly. Mary told Hannah she was going home to say goodbye to her friend. She told Hannah she was going home and then said goodbye to her friend and left the house at 4 a.m., Brandy. On two more occasions that morning, Mary Ashford was seen by people. A Joseph Dawson testified that he, man, these people must stay up all night long. It's Joseph Dawson testified that he saw a girl that looked like Mary on Bell Lane around 4:15 a.m. And then about work. Yeah, maybe, or the farm or something, getting up to what do they do with cows?
Milk
the cows?
Yes.
Have you ever milked a cow, Brandy?
I have.
She milked a cow, Colonel.
She's got quite a technique on it.
Have you ever milked a prostate, Brandy?
No.
All right.
I don't think I have. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, I just wanted to get you on record there.
I didn't realize that was something that needed to go on record. But.
Well, clear okay. it up in case it comes up later on.
Sure.
About 10 minutes after that, after Joseph Dawson saw a girl walking on Bell Lane, Mary had been seen on the same lane by Thomas Broadhurst. And I don't think Thomas Broadhurst. I don't think he would lie. Both witnesses noted that Mary had been alone. So 4:15 in the morning, she's walking down this Bell Lane. Okay. Not long after these inquiries into Mary Ashford's last movements, the police interviewed one Abraham Thornton, Colonel. I bet he sounds like a cad, doesn't he?
No, you can't really go wrong with a person named Abraham. The only thing, you don't want to follow a man named Abraham, Timmy. Well, they'll have you wandering around for 40 years, Timmy.
Wasn't that Moses?
Yeah, it's one of them.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, okay, good. I'm pretty sure it was Moses, but that's all right.
So when the police interviewed Abraham Thornton, he seemed to be in a state of shock. And after being told that Mary had been murdered, strangled and raped, Thornton told detectives, and I quote, this is a quote, Brandy, "I cannot believe she is murdered. Why, I was with her until 4 o'clock this morning," unquote. So he was with her all the way up to 4 o'clock. Thornton seemed sincere enough and apparently didn't understand at the time that he was the chief suspect in this investigation. However, he soon understood the situation and was taken into custody later that day and searched. So once they arrested him, he realized that he was now a suspect. Detectives grilled him, Colonel, about every detail of events which unfolded after he had left the Tyburn House Inn with Mary that evening. Abraham Thornton admitted that he had sexual intercourse with Mary, but he denied that he raped and murdered her.
So your
thoughts on that so far, Brandy? No. Is he a cad?
Oh, definitely a cad, but I don't know that makes him a murderer.
Well, okay. Well. Tell us what happens next, then.
Snap election, Timmy. Snap election. I'm calling for a snap election.
Well, he can do that, Brandy. He can call for a snap election.
I'm calling for someone to snap your neck.
When I call for a snap election, Timmy, there will be no more crime in the great empire of Britain.
I see. Are you going to let bobbies carry guns?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I'm going to. And if you see somebody jaywalking, because that's where it starts, jaywalkers. Mm-hmm. One day you're jaywalking. Next day you're kind of shoplifting. Next day after that, it's armed robbery.
For now, you're a serial killer.
It's murder, so within mayhem, a week, serial killer.
Within a week,
and then within a month, you're a terrorist, Timmy. So
Brandy, he's going to have zero tolerance for a crime.
Jesus Christ. All right. In a deposition, In a deposition, the bricklayer stated that when his friend Benjamin Carter and Mary's friend Hannah had left them, he and Mary.
What's Hannah's last name?
It doesn't say here. He and Mary had strolled hand in hand over the field to a stile.
They went to a stile.
Yes. The couple sat talking for about 15 minutes and then went to the green at Edrington, where Mary went into her friend's house to change her dress. Abraham Thornton had waited for quite some time, but Mary did not come out, so he went home alone. Thornton's statement was backed up by three other witnesses who had seen him at that time. One witness, a gamekeeper named John Hayden, had even chatted to the young man for over a quarter of an hour. That's 15 minutes.
Well, that seems like he has an alibi, Brandy.
The police continued their investigation into the murder of Mary Ashford, but came up against a brick wall that the bricklayer built.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, I don't think they mean that literally. I just think it's...
You don't think?
Know. No.
I see.
No See, one. That's what you call coincidence, Devil.
That he can't. Yeah.
He's a bricklayer. They run into a brick wall.
That is.
You don't think he put it there?
Oh, I think. No one had seen the murder victim and Abraham Thornton together after they'd been sighted at the stile. Now, the stile is a set of steps that allows a person to walk over a wall or a fence.
You know, we need stop more style. We need that. Bring those back. If Trump builds his wall on the border, they can make styles.
I hope to have.
I think he should.
I think that would defeat the purpose of the wall, Timmy.
I would think so too.
If you put a big wall up and you put a style there, next thing you know, Timmy, you got caravans.
Next thing you know, there's an escalator.
Over the style. You got stylish caravans. Escalator. You got stylish people coming over here.
Have you ever been stuck on an escalator, Colonel?
The other day at work, the elevator stopped on me, Timmy.
Oh, that's scary.
Even the elevator wanted to spend more time with the Colonel.
I can understand. And he got caught on an escalator. He almost died. It was awful.
I was there for a good 30
seconds,
Timmy.
30
and in
seconds.
There, 30 I, got seconds a, I had a vision.
Mm-hmm.
What was your words vision? Kept coming to me. Snap election, Timmy. Snap right. election. And for those who don't know,
I bet they do.
They're having some problems over across the pond.
Mm-hmm.
And a snap election, just think about that. If we could just say right now, at any given moment, and I'm not talking about just for this president, but for any president, Timmy, if you could just say, oh, got some buyer's remorse here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's have a snap election.
Yeah, that would be a great thing.
We could vote for president again. You know what it would do, Timmy?
We'd be voting every other day.
We would be. Yeah. And they wouldn't be spending so much money on elections because they'd be thinking, shoot, we might have to have another one next Wednesday. So save some of your money.
Or he's got a good point, Brandy. You have to admit he has a good point.
Or we might have to do our job. How about that?
Yeah. And there would be... It'd be like a red wave, a blue wave, a red wave, blue wave, blue wave, red wave, all in the same week, Timmy.
Mm-hmm. Wave. All right. The stile was at the top of Bell Lane, and the two had been seen there at 3 a.m, a fact which provided police with a real headache.
I just don't think it. You're hanging out 3 a.m. on the stile, and I think that there's some, improper activities going on there.
Well, despite a lack of hard evidence, Abraham Thornton was brought to trial in August of that year at the Warwick Court before Justice Holroyd. Hundreds of people who believed Thornton had killed Mary Ashford had waited outside the courthouse from 6 a.m, all of them had hoped they'd be the first to hear that a verdict of guilty had been reached, but they were to be disappointed. after just 6 minutes. They didn't even get the free lunch.
They didn't even get free cup of coffee or tea, right. I guess.
Deliberations, the jury returned a verdict of not guilty.
So he walked.
In modern English law, that verdict would have been final, but in the early 19th century, what the fuck, an ancient law existed, mm-hmm. which enabled Mary Ashford's brother, William, to appeal against the jury's verdict and thus demand a second trial.
Oh, we need that.
Yeah. It's like a snap election, Timmy. It's called a snap trial. Snap trial.
Okay.
So this you like the girl this, Colonel. You're going to like this, Colonel. Hold on. You're going to like this. Wait a minute.
So this was the girl that was murdered in 1817.
Yes. All right. Right.
Okay.
So the dude walks. He's not guilty, but her family appeals it, basically.
Right. Mm-hmm. Let's see. So this was done. And on November 17th, 1817, Abraham Thornton once again stood trial, this time before Lord Ellenborough at the court of the King's Bench. By now, interest in the Mary Ashford murder had reached fever pitch in every corner of Britain.
Fever pitch.
Mm-hmm. And Fleet Street news hounds were delighted at a dramatic turn in the case. The case was a media sensation. Legal history was made when Lord Ellenborough allowed Thornton to take advantage of an archaic law called trial by battle.
Trial by battle.
I remember that one. And you can get a proxy to fight for you.
Well, this ancient rite necessitated Thornton renewing his plea of not guilty before throwing down a gauntlet from the dock. This signified a challenge to William Ashford for a fight to the death unless one of them surrendered or was incapacitated during the fight. Well, that's bullshit.
Would you like trial by battle, Kurt?
I would like trial by battle, Timmy.
Continue, Brandy.
You know what I would like trial by battle?
What?
Or just like, see, I think that should be something you invoke all the time. Like, you go to McDonald's, you order a couple cheeseburgers, some fries, and the fries are cold. You should go back in there and throw down a gauntlet and have a battle to the death with the cook.
And I had, you know what? And here's the thing. I think the cook would beat you. I really do.
Well, it doesn't matter. My honor would reconcile my honor because there's nothing that kills your honor like walking out with cold French fries.
First of all, slow down like you have honor. Slow the fuck down. Slow your roll.
Quit sullying me because when they have the snap election, I'm gonna be
snap election.
There were objections to the trial by battle option, but Lord Ellenborough proudly enunciated to the court, "It is the law of England."
And I like trial by battle.
If Ashford accepted the challenge and won, Thornton would be executed immediately. But if Thornton won, he would have to be freed and would no longer have to appear in court in connection with the Ashford murder.
Now, here's why I'm confused. If her brother won, right, he beats – it's a battle to death. So if he wins, Thornton is guilty, and then he gets executed. But wouldn't he be dead in the trial by battle?
Well, you would think. Well, unless he becomes incapacitated.
I see. Okay.
Abraham Thornton held what resembled a heavy leather mitten with a trailing feather attached. I don't even know what the fuck that is.
It's for the gauntlet.
And invoked the ancient English law. He declared he was innocent and that he was ready to defend his innocence with his body. Well, trial by combat, also referred to as wager battle, trial by battle, or judicial duel, was a method of Germanic law to settle accusations in the absence of witnesses or a confession in which two parties dispute fought in a single combat. All right. The theory behind the trial by battle is that the verdict will be decided by providence. Although used mostly in the 16th and 17th century, trial by battle was still on the books in England.
So basically, God would intervene and the bad guy would die, basically.
Sure.
Okay.
This case was the last time that battle by trial or trial by battle was invoked.
Yeah, that's what's wrong. Colonel, if you're elected prime minister, will you bring back battle by trial?
Oh, I will bring it back to me. It will be an integral part of our justice system.
Thank you, Colonel.
Okay. Consistent with tradition.
And if you're accused of a heinous crime, you could say
First, if you're convicted and found guilty and it looks like the overwhelming evidence, like, say, in this case, the man rapes and murders, and you can say, okay, what, but we're going to give you a trial by battle. But your battle is you get a teaspoon and her three brothers get daggers, Timmy.
I see. So you're putting your thumb on the scale, Colonel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So this was the last time that it was invoked.
Okay.
Consistent with tradition, Abraham Thornton made his challenge by lifting his gauntlet, that's the glove with the feather, above his head and then hurled it down while making the challenge, thus the term throwing down the gauntlet. William Ashford's counsel disputed Thornton's right to trial by battle and criticized Lord Ellenborough for allowing such an alternative to a proper second trial, but the protest came to nothing.
Sounds like he was cowardly to me.
Well, no, wait a minute. William Ashford didn't accept the challenge. And because he had not responded to the challenge on April 21st in the following year, the challenges were dropped.
So they I guess give him a year. Yeah.
Well, you can work out, I guess. Let's see. He would no longer, Thornton would no longer have to stand trial for a second time for Mary Ashford's murder. The notoriety of the case took its toll on Abraham Thornton, however. No one would employ the bricklayer. So he later immigrated to the United States, where he died a pauper in New York City at the age of 32. Aww. To this day, criminologists have tried in vain to determine who murdered Mary Ashford. Now, fast forward 150 years for the facts of the Erie case, which has strange echoes of the Ashford murder. On May 27th, 1975, 20-year-old... What?
Echoes, Timmy. That's some prose
strange
right there.
Echoes. Timmy.
Thank you, Colonel.
Try to do it justice, would you, Devil? Try to do Timmy's prose justice.
Well, because it says echoes, and I think that's what I said, but whatever. So
you're doing fine, Brandy.
Thank you. On May 27th, 1975, 20-year-old Barbara Forrest was found dead in the long grass ditch, in the long grass of a ditch near Edrington. Barbara had been strangled and raped, and her body, which was partially clothed, had lain undetected for over a week. Barbara had worked at the nearby Pipe Hayes Children's Home. Her facial features bore an almost identical similarity to Mary Ashford, and like Mary, Barbara had been strangled after being raped. Barbara was a member of St. Mark's Lutheran Church, and she vanished after the night out with her boyfriend, Simon Belcher.
They have a lot of Simons over there in England, Colonel.
Simon Legree.
Yeah. Now that was here. Simon from Simon Cowell's, who I was thinking.
Oh, okay.
The couple had visited pubs in the city center and the nearby village of Handsworth. Simon, then 21, had walked Barbara to a Colmore Circus bus stop at 1 a.m. to catch the number 67, but she never made it home. Detectives believe her attacker used the trees at the edge of the park as cover before pouncing on his victim. There was public shock at the crime and a clamor to find the killer.
It was a clamor, Brandy. Yeah. A clamor.
I believe if I were the police, the first thing I would do in this case is call for a snap election. And then I would go see what Simon says.
Nice, Colonel. Continue, Brandy.
It's a play on words, Timmy.
Yeah.
Yes. So
he's clever, Brandy.
So the people are clamoring with Barbara's clean-cut lifestyle fanning the flames of public outrage.
Mm.
Only hours before that fateful night out, she and Simon jointly held a service at St. Mark's. Simon was standing in for his father, church minister, Pastor Peter Belcher.
Oh. Do you like that song, Son of a Preacher Man? I really like that song.
I do.
Dusty Springfield.
Sing a little bit for us, Colonel.
No.
The only woman that could ever reach me was the son of a preacher, man.
Oh, yes, he was.
Oh, yes.
Did he say the only woman who could ever reach me?
Well, you know, I got to sing. I got to change it for the Colonel version.
I see.
Except I think I got it wrong when I said the only woman that could ever reach me was the son of a preacher, man.
Probably.
That it's like Lola and, you know.
Yeah.
Why don't you sing on it?
Being a criminologist, I need to know this, too, to try to put the facts together. Was she a door-to-door cheese salesman?
We don't know at this point.
Okay.
All right. So both of them were deeply involved in the Lutheran Church youth movement, and Barbara was the national secretary.
It was a youth movement, church youth movement, Colonel.
More than 100 detectives, spearheaded by Detective Superintendent Mick Lenihan.
That's a lot of fucking detectives.
Yeah, there's a lot of people working on this case.
Hunted the murderer. Barbara's boyfriend, Simon, was quickly ruled out as a suspect by investigators.
I wonder
detectives
why.
Detectives interviewed bus pass. Well, you'd be the one that fucking knew, Timmy. You wrote the goddamn script. let's see. Detectives interviewed bus passengers. Carried
number 67.
Inquiries, yep. Put up hundreds of posters and even staged a reconstruction of the crime. Hmm. Cops sifted through the mud of the park's pool for clues.
Hold on, please. Hold on, please. I got somebody outside my house yelling something.
Okay.
Snap election.
Okay. What do you think about his candidacy there, Brandy?
It's bullshit.
All right, continue, please.
Okay, you know what? Thank I'm going to put you in the Tower of London when I can.
I will grow my hair very long and be able to get out.
But you can't get out if you grow your hair very long. That'll allow someone to climb up. But how are you going to climb down? Because once you get outside, you're going to fall.
First of all, don't worry about how I do what I do. You just mind your business. Okay?
All right.
Plus, I didn't think you liked your hair pulled, Devil.
But isn't the Tower of London where they keep the family jewels?
It is. Mm-hmm. So stay off the jewels.
All right. So police had made
always protect the family jewels. Is what
always
I say.
Protect them, Timmy.
Mm-hmm.
Hundreds of inquiries in the small town, and later arrested a man named Michael Thornton, a 38-year-old Birmingham childcare officer who had been a co-worker of Barbara Forrest.
Mm, and his last name is Thornton, just like Abraham. Mm.
During the investigation, blood was found on Michael Thornton's pants, and his alibi for the night that Barbara disappeared turned out to be false. Oh, he's been a But this was a decade before DNA was used as evidence. The case against Thornton was entirely circumstantial. And like the Thornton who stood accused of murdering Mary Ashford in 1817, Michael Thornton was tried for the murder of Barbara Forrest and acquitted.
Did they confer more than 6 minutes?
It doesn't say. Hmm. Both murders had taken place around the same time of day. And furthermore, both victims had been to a friend's house to change into a new dress before going out on the evening of Whit Monday to a dance.
Now, Brandy, let me ask you: you dabble into the paranormal.
Into the occult, into the devil stuff.
You dabble into the things that's best left alone. What
she
is your thoughts,
dabble, Timmy? She immerses herself in it.
What is your thoughts on this? Do you think that there's some kind of karma, some type of? Are we in some sort of time warp of some sort? What are your thoughts?
I think it's coincidence. I think it's completely coincidental. And I also think, you know, this happened with what was it, JFK and Lincoln?
Yes, very similar to that. There's a lot of similarities.
It's just coincidental.
I don't think there's anything paranormal involved.
I would be shocked. I would be taken aback.
Okay. I wouldn't see you taken aback. All right. Continue, Brandy.
Stranger still, days before each victim was murdered, they'd made prophetic remarks about their impending fate. A week before Mary Ashford was murdered, she told Hannah's mother that she had bad feelings about the week to come, but was unable to elaborate on her unfounded sense of dread.
From time to time has had sense of dread, right?
Every day before I go into work.
Okay.
And 10 days before Barbara Forrest was raped and then strangled to death, she told a colleague at work of a strange premonition. Barbara's words had been, "This is going to be my unlucky month. I just know it. Don't ask me why."
Oh, that's weird, Brandy.
In 2012, with the advent of DNA, Barbara Forrest's sister called for a new police investigation to finally bring her killer to justice. There had been speculation that the Birmingham police had misplaced evidence in the case and therefore resisting reopening either case. As of 2018, the murder cases of Mary Ashford and Barbara Forrest officially remain open and unsolved.
Wow. That's quite a story. Brandy, what's your thoughts on this? Who do you think done it and why?
Well, I don't know who done it. I think that if anybody...
Well, you're not really much of a detective, devil.
Well, what do you think about these? You think all these are just coincidences, but what do you feel like when they have premonitions that something bad was going to happen? What are your thoughts on that?
That happens. People have premonitions. People have gut feelings. That happens.
Okay. You don't think there's nothing?
I don't think that they were gypsies or anything like that that could see into the future.
Could they be tramps or thieves?
Or hobos?
One of those.
Could they be hobos?
They could. I don't think they were hobos either.
I had a premonition about 3 weeks ago, Timmy.
Okay,
it was that I was going to be eating tea and crumpets, and I had no idea what it meant.
Mm-hmm. Now you know.
Now I know there's going to be a snap election, Timmy.
Colonel, as a criminologist, what's your impressions of these cases?
It's a coincidence, Timmy, that people murdered every day. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Do you think that Mr. Thornton was guilty in either case?
I believe he was guilty in both cases, Timmy.
How?
What
are you basing that on there?
If you're not sure, always err on the side of guilty. Because, as I always say,
guilty until proven innocent.
It's better to execute 99 innocent men than one guilty man go free.
And that's going to be your platform when you have.
In America, we do the opposite. Better 99 innocent men go free, mm-hmm. or guilty men go free, than one innocent man convicted. Well, now you got a bunch of guilty men walking around, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's
right.
Good for society. When they have the snap election, I'm prime minister. Uh-huh. We're going to be changing it to better 99 innocent men go to prison than one guilty man go free. Because those 99 innocent men, they're not really innocent. They've done something we don't know about.
Randy, your thoughts on that?
You know what? Nothing. I mean, again.
I'm going to be the law and order.
It's the ravings of a lunatic.
So, Colonel, when you win the snap election, you will, of course, have to go to meet the Queen.
I will.
Have you prepared on, the protocol and how you to address her and
well,
all that?
Yesterday, me and Rudy were practicing curtsying.
Oh, I see. Time. Yeah, well, I'd like to see that, Colonel. I'd like to see you curtsy.
Yes, I know how to curtsy.
All right. We did not bring our.
Wait, are you saying we?
Yes, it's a collective we.
No, it's a
Chuck we.
The script.
Chuck forgot the. Not only did he forget the script, but he forgot our Patreon list. So we can give shout outs to all of our wonderful Patreon supporters.
Tits on
but,
a fucking bore.
So we're not going to be able to go through all the names today, but it is Thanksgiving coming up this week, and I just want to say how thankful we are for you who support us on Patreon. If you would like to support us on Patreon, please go to patreon.com/historydweebs, where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or...
Just a wee little bit to me.
Hold on. So, Brandy, say something nice.
Hold on, Timmy. Timmy? Uh-huh.
Hold on. Yes.
Just a wee little bit, sir.
Okay.
No, hold on. That was my English accent. Wee little bit, sir.
I think that's Irish.
God. All of it's close. Terrible.
All right. So, Colonel, give us your final pitch for your candidacy for Prime Minister of Great Britain.
Well, Timmy, everybody knows that there's only one person that can really change the course of history, that the British Empire has been in decline for quite some time, Timmy.
Mm-hmm.
But I am the person who could fix it. Only me, as our fearless leader said to us, Timmy,
mm-hmm.
only I can fix these problems.
I see. Well, I think I wish you a lot of luck in your campaign.
It's almost like God reached down from the heavens and touched the colonel on his forehead and said, snap election.
Brandy, will you be supporting the colonel in his endeavor to be Prime Minister of Great Britain?
Only if I can have a high level position.
You will be manager of Stonehenge.
No.
I can do that too, Timmy.
Huh?
We're bringing back the guillotine. That's part of my platform. We're going to build a wall. I know we got
But Great Britain is an island, right?
Right. We're going to build a wall around the island, Timmy. You can't be too careful these days.
Well, you have stiles so people can walk over them.
No, there's going to be no stiles and no ropes, Timmy.
So he's anti-style, Randy.
I don't understand what's happening. It's so just redonkulous.
Well, Brandy, why don't you take a minute and thank all of our Patreon supporters, all of our listeners on this special week of Thanksgiving.
Yes, I do. I want to thank everybody that has supported us, not just this week, but every week since we've started this massive mess of shit. We really, really appreciate it. And I hope that everybody has a wonderful, wonderful holiday.
Colonel, what would you like to say?
Mm-hmm. And everybody knows this is going to happen, Timmy. Mm-hmm. Is that you're going to have your crazy uncle over there. Mm-hmm. And he's going to be talking to you about...
Which is you. That's
chemtrails and...
snap elections.
Snap elections and, you know, everything that nobody wants to talk about at Thanksgiving. And he's going to bring it up. And what I found is the easiest way is to smother him with a pillow. Because there you got plenty of things to be thankful for. You get together on Thanksgiving and your family's there and you're thankful for them. And then you got the crazy uncle who shows up. And he makes you realize why you're not happy every day. You're not thankful for everything. So if you just will let, because he's going to eat and he's going to take a nap.
So he puts things in perspective for him.
You smother him with a pillow.
Right? This is you. You are the crazy uncle. It's you.
I have been invited to numerous Thanksgiving gatherings this year.
No, you haven't. Really?
I have. Quite a few.
Will you be seeing Dominique this Thanksgiving?
That is one thing I'll be thankful for. No.
All right. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you next time on History Dweebs. Bye, everyone.
Good day.
Bye-bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.